Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Spectral Hand, and it is the 11th day of the Red Earth Wave Spell, and it is the Crystal Moon Day 1. And we just have some business, tech business, to get out of the way. I'm not sure if it's actually my microphone cord or my microphone that is having a weak link and making it hard for me to record. So I have a new cord, and right now I am able to broadcast. But if this is unreliable, I'm going to have to order a new microphone. And I think those things come through the mail, and there'll just be another delay. Thanks for your patience. It's an absolute truism about Mercury retrograde that there are going to be malfunctions in communication and technology, and I really wasn't paying attention in the pre-shadow retrograde, which went on for the last 3 weeks, and in that time I repaired one of my cars and the other one isn't running all of a sudden. So I'm such a believer that I just find that vindicating, like, yep, it's right on time. It's a really great time to spend money fixing things. It doesn't have to feel like a punishment. Everything needs maintenance, and I guess I just do it in this window. The retrograde is full bore since yesterday, and now we're in the heart of it, which most people celebrate and acknowledge as important. And I do the full 8-week version. So I'll be talking about it as much as is needed. The other piece of business is that I really wanted to podcast and felt very handicapped that I didn't have this outlet and touchstone tether for myself as we moved through the red earth time. One of my big pieces of information that I wanted to say aloud was there's just not been enough synchronicity for me this red earth wave spell. Synchronicity in the red earth wave spell is those jaw-dropping moments when you just can't believe how everything's aligning in that weird woo-woo way. But I haven't had that going on. And like I said, it's been a bit of a disappointment. I'm a little disappointed in that loss. Perhaps you have had synchronicity. And I won't try to explain that word, but it is such a intense feeling and awakening and affirmation when it happens. And what I usually find in the red earth wave spell is it's kind of constant. And what I had one giant synchronicity that I can point to since I was last on air, and I'm going to tell that story now. So I have a amazing plumber who is Mexican. I think I've talked about him here. I asked him if he was Mexican American, and he said, I'm Mexican. So that's how I describe him. He's from Mexico and has been in America for a while. But he is Aztec. He identifies as Aztec. And I asked him his birthday so I could look it up. And I think I talked about that here, how he's a red solar serpent. And for him, so that I didn't have to tell an original Mexican person about indigenous spirituality, I didn't do the lecturing. I mean, I didn't do the whole Jose Arguelles version. I just said, oh, you're a fire snake. A red solar serpent is a fire snake. And he related really strongly to that, which was great. And he showed me his tattoos, which are kind of sort of spread out over his body, but they're all the same, which is skin being sort of pulled away or ripped and revealing scales underneath. And so that was how he responded to being told he was a fire snake. And then he showed me more photos of his tattoos from the parts of his body that are hidden, and it actually is a dragon scales. And he is guided, Red Solar Serpent is guided by red dragons. So that was definitely nice attunement for me to witness. And then Red Solar Serpent was Friday. That was his birthday, his Mayan birthday. And he was here on site. And that was synchronous also to spend time with someone on their Mayan birthday. What I want to do, though, is tell the story of what happened the days before. I was out in the yard area clearing things, and a snake emerged, a little snake, a little green snake. There are rattlesnakes around, but not a rattlesnake, which I probably would have killed, to be honest. But it was a little garden snake, and I don't care for snakes, but I called for him who loves snakes. And he came and looked at it and followed it. He was totally enwrapped and in rapture with the snake. And he said, "Can I take the snake?" And if you recall from a different storytelling about him, he found a giant spider on my hair. Just giant, just sickeningly huge. Not as big as a tarantula, but bigger than any spider you would ever find in a household. And it was on my head, and he got it, and he took it back to where he lives to raise it, to have it as his friend, and he catches live flies and gives it to the spider. And so he took the snake in his van, riding side passenger style, with him home, and then he set up a terrarium for the snake, and then he came back on his Mayan birthday and showed me the video of the snake in its habitat. And he showed me this video on his phone of a little fluffy white mouse scampering. You know how mice kind of run on their tiptoes like children do when they're excited. And the little white mouse was just gamboling through the terrarium. And then the snake struck and strangled it. And I did not recover from watching that for the whole day. So I had to think a lot about, like, how can someone be so definitively into reptiles, whereas I am so definitively into mammals, and I want mammals to live long and prosper and be comfortable and safe. And I thought about how I felt when I saw the snake, and this really truly is a teaching on the Red Serpent tribe that you're being exposed to, thank you. But I'm like, what is it about being around a snake that I don't care for? And I realize it's that their eyes and their body, when they show fear, they don't show vulnerability. Whereas when a mammal is scared, you see it in their eyes. You see like an alarm and a vulnerability that makes it look like they're suffering emotionally. But when a snake, and I presume other reptiles, is afraid, they go immediately into a very clinical defense posture. And of course, their eyes are sort of slitted if you are looking closely at them. But mostly the vibe of me and the snake before Ruben came to get the snake was me not afraid of a little tiny snake hurting me, but me just not liking the energy field of the snake because it wasn't warm. Obviously, it's cold-blooded, it's survival-oriented, but it doesn't have that heart capacity and an emotional resonance to share or show its fear in a way that's, you can have empathy with, that's relatable. Ruben, I think, is extremely empathic with reptiles as a red serpent and just a human being with his predilections. So he's on the same wavelength and grooves right with how the snake acts. Ruben isn't emotional or emotionally vulnerable. He's like a death metal loud motorcycle rider and a welder, and he's a great plumber and he's a great person and artist, but he is not like warm and fuzzy. So I was really excited because I made this discovery, you know, when we get to the Red Serpent days and the Red Serpent wave spells and Red Serpent people, I had a pretty significant ex-boyfriend. I always talk about all my ex-boyfriends here, but a red resonant serpent, and it's not a really safe space for me to be in anxiety where vulnerability isn't really accessed. Emotional vulnerability and the raw experience, the raw and messy experience of being scared when your emotional expression comes out as forlorn and sad, a meltdown of a kind. You know, when anxiety is real for me, I'm always healthiest when I just collapse in internally and emotionally, and the feelings create the transformation and release in my body. But in Red Serpent, there's just anxiety and trying to survive. And so that nuance was presented to me. So the heavy synchronicity was that the Red Serpent got a snake, and he took it on a trip, which was very Red Earth. The snake rode off to Oakland and lives in a new place. And I asked him, I said, well, okay, if you're going to take the snake, are you going to love it so that it feels connected and treasured in place of the freedom that you're taking away from it? And he said, yes. So I believe that. And it's obviously going to be fed well. So that was my big collective synchronicity for the wave spell. And I hope there's something instructive or relatable for you about it. And now we're on Blue Spectral Hand. And so the momentum of Red Earth is really dispelled, dissolved. The wave is breaking and we're balancing whatever Red Earth was for you with the Blue Hand antipode that is about knowledge and that whole hand-eye coordination, the really affirmed and palpable intelligence that comes when we can use our hands in our human form, snakes don't have them, to validate what we think and see with touch. And I don't have a lot more to say about Blue Hand. It's just a day that we're passing through. I think I'll circle back around to the wave spells, but really the big breaking news is that we are not in the spectral moon anymore. It was another thing that kind of snuck by me without having the podcast to anticipate it. All of a sudden I realized that we had come to the 28th day. So that Saturday, the 29th of May, I told you that the spectral moon is always May. May, 1st to the 29th, or maybe it's the 2nd to the 29th. That would be more accurate, I believe. But May is spectral, and there's some synchronicity that the calendars, Gregorian and the 13 moon, have this alignment. And it can be a real touchstone for us if we want to remember or anticipate the spectral moon being 28 days of breaking wave is a pretty powerful change point. It's a pivot in our calendar year. And so you can reflect back to all the Mays of your history, and you can think to last May, and you can think of the month of May that we just had, and you can then remind yourself that the spectral tone of a wave breaking for 28 days, the liberation of tension that accompanies it, the sense of freedom from, you know, the drive to achieve or ascend is relieved, and also the year, it kind of is moving so deeply now to resolution that the spectral moon is the mechanism that we get from all of the climbing and growing and, like I said, accomplishment, achievement, all these things that we build through 10 tones, 10 stages to the peak of our wave spell, whatever the duration, days, moons, or years. And it allows us to have an extended moment before we move now into the resolution. The crystal tone, the 12th tone, is, I don't know that Jose Arguelles used the word resolution, but I just have gotten really fixated on it because I really like stories. I like the human creation of storytelling where there is all of this journeying, and then there's the capitulation point, and then there's the homecoming. So we are coming home now in the crystal moon for 28 days. And what that means, really obviously to me, I talked about this last time I was on air, is that we are moving out of the conflict demands, cacophony, the storm energy of this blue lunar storm year is changing. And I wouldn't want you to not notice it. Changing means it doesn't have the power, it doesn't have the momentum, it doesn't have the disruption in our lives that a blue lunar storm year creates. You know, speaking to my daughter and, you know, maybe friends as well, and just being like, well, look, it's been a really tough year because it's been full of conflict, and I don't use the word polarity when I'm just chatting with people, but just like conflict, confrontation, feeling differences between ourselves and others, the tempest, you know, the upheaval. A blue storm year is in a four-year cycle that moves through the east, north, west, and south. And for a whole year, we are in that place of transformation that is alchemical and strong, charged. And when we come to the yellow electric seed year on July 26th, it will be different again, of course. But we really have had quite a stacked deck for this year. And you know that. And I know it because not only have we lived through it, but it's described that way in the nomenclature of Blue Lunar Storm. But now you will find yourself overcoming disputes and differences with others. And you'll see that collectively around you. And that's nice that millions and millions, billions of people have been in a blue lunar storm year without needing to acknowledge it, to be informed. But they've been enduring conflict, disparities, feelings of disconnection or separatism and polarity. And they've been feeling this churning upheaval, the demand of the storm tribe. And it's going to resolve now. And we won't be back here for 52 years. And it's epic because the combination of lunar and storm is one of the most definitively destructive and demanding of the 52-year cycle we move through together. Like, clearly a blue spectral storm year would be really challenging. We had that 4 years ago when Donald Trump was elected. That's when that was. We could look at, let me think. I mean, a blue rhythmic storm year is just sort of like an endlessly stormy, demanding space. A white lunar wizard could feel that way because the lunar energy, as you understand, is polarizing, and white wizard is enchantment and a form of shamanic magic, but there's black magic and white magic in white wizard. It's not just all Glinda the Good Witch. We had a white lunar wizard year 13 years ago. You know, I'm sure I could come up with some more, but none as viscerally challenging as Blue Lunar Storm. Just descriptively, doesn't mean you could have a much worse year. I could, we could, culturally, globally, absolutely. But just in the description heading into it, we really have had a lot to cope with, and you can see that reflected
in everything we've been through. So it's coming to its conclusion. And the crystal tone has this idea that the story is winding down, sort of slowing and coming into peacefulness. Resolution is peaceful, even if it resolves in death, because you can think about literature. There's the kind of comedic, happy ending where everyone gets married at the end in a Shakespearean story. Or there's Macbeth, where, you know, there's just a lot of murder and distraught moral bankruptcy, and there's a tragic ending. But nonetheless, since death is not the end, that ending has its own version of peace or stillness, an absence of momentum, which is, it's relaxing in its own way because it means the war ends. Macbeth's death was good for other people. Okay, so the other facet, though, about the crystal tone is that there's this inclination to gather. And I'll just describe that my crystal day one, because I always feel that we really get the first direct hit of the first day of a 28-day moon shows us that we've transited. So I am working on this house, and it's not lonely, but I'm obviously not entertaining a lot. And today, I live right next to San Quentin Prison. I live one door down from the gates, and it was the one-year anniversary of their protest because COVID took, I think, 29 residents there. And there was a huge, sad drama before I moved here where they brought in a dozen or two dozen prisoners from a COVID-infected prison, transferred them to San Quentin, and they brought the pandemic in really tragically. So there was a gathering outside my door of 100 people, I think, maybe, who were honoring, commemorating some of the lives lost and just the philosophical, spiritual, memorial resonance of noticing that this has happened. And I was stuck at the gathering because my car was pinned in by the crowd, and I didn't mind in the sense that I understood that, you know, the mountain came to Muhammad or whatever, but it was a really obvious invocation of people coming together. And we're going to see that because, again, lingering quarantine, separation, getting back in the hang of being out socially, it's going to just blow up this moon. I live in California where it's just so performative at this gathering outside next to the ocean or the open water. People were all in masks, and I just felt like, really, just who are you trying to show? Who are you honoring? In California, we are just really being held back. And I don't mean that from a libertarian position, but just sort of like, okay, acting as if science isn't real doesn't work for me on a progressive liberal perspective any more than it does when people are refusing to acknowledge science. So I just want to say that we are farther behind the acceptable social gathering and getting back to normalcy here. But nonetheless, it was a way to be with people. And then I did move my car and went to other people had gathered to hear Grateful Dead Imitators, and just feeling that willingness in me to be with people, which is not my norm. But in the crystal tone, it's invited, it's innate. So I saw lots of people and was in crowds today. So we'll see how that progresses, each of us. But you can notice how you're drawn to people that you have no resistance to being among more than your maybe usual isolative or restrictive ideas about socializing. And then I thought that the other thing that I always speak about when it comes to the crystal days, crystal moon, then being a larger version, is that we are likely to also be more like storytelling ourselves, because each of us has been on this profound journey, and we'll have things we want to share again innately, just as we mix and mingle. What we're going to be talking about is what has happened over this year that started July 26th. And there'll be like summary kind of statements and stories from the journey. And it's perfect with retrograde because it's a retrospective kind of point of view. And what I want to say on top of all that, from last year, White Magnetic Wizard, I was blown away by my own experience in the crystal and cosmic moons, which would be 56 days of transiting to summer last year, how earned that stillness and resolution energy felt after the White Magnetic Wizard year was different than the Blue Lunar Storm. But magnetic years are just like a bombardment of karma and information and activity that is going to play out over 13 years. So when we have a magnetic day, it's intensified for a day, and all of this new information and impetus that will carry us through a 13-day wave spell happens. But when we did it for a year, it was a lot. And so coming into the crystal tone last year, a year back from now, I liked how that felt. And then it carried through into the cosmic tone of the cosmic moon, where I was just like, oh man, this is like ecstasy. It's trippy. It's cosmic. One with all, one with the cosmos. And I felt a lot of reluctance and yet resignation that it was going to get really busy and cooking up in the next magnetic tone to start the year. So you have 56 days to have that vacation feeling, the feeling of coming home to yourself and your people, after having been out in the wild, in the wilderness, challenged by karmic demands, that there is this peacefulness that we can enter, strongly associated, right, with early summer, and then in the northern hemisphere, and then when we get to the magnetic moon starting our year, July 26th, it's more like the end of summer, which I talk about also redundantly, that when we were children, that feeling of when summer's no longer freedom and fun, and maybe the camp activities have ended, and then there's sort of just waiting in August for school momentum to begin, and that kind of agitation takes over and can feel, what does it feel like when you're young? It feels like expectancy and maybe an urgency to get moving, get going again, waiting to rejoin the living. But the first months of summer, starting now, are about finishing up the school year, resolving, and the excitement of being with nature or being in a different kind of pattern than the school year, you know, looser, freer, you know, time in the sun, time in the water, all of that is coming for us. I wouldn't want you to miss that either. And geez, we went through the full moon and an eclipse. And again, I wasn't really tuned into that, but it was demanding. And that was part of what I missed about podcasting, is that I experienced like disruptive discomfort around the moon getting large, and I just want to acknowledge that as much as I can, that it's all connected. And I say this, I repeat myself a lot, that natural time is just a way. It's a powerful, magical path, right, with all the names and energy fields, but it's called natural time so that we are connected to nature, and that's our own true human nature, being mammalian or whatever our DNA is. And the nature surrounding us, and there's something we all innately understand that is natural versus artificial or automated. And of course, the culture is super post-industrial and artificial and automated in so many ways. So we use natural time to find our way back. Oh, I'm amazed that 30 minutes has already elapsed. I'll be back soon, but I'm going to keep it short. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.